Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton from Sydney's 2SER 107.3, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Worcester, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. America opened up a new embassy in Jerusalem, Israel this week. Trump saying on Twitter, "Big day for Israel, congratulations." But of course, the already controversial occasion has been marred by more than 60 Palestinian deaths and thousands more injured in protests. Ed, what's your first thought?
Well, I think Nobel Prize, Peace Prize, should go to somebody. But it will not be Donald Trump. That was the most idiotic move in history. I have no idea. Even the people in Israel are opposed to moving the embassy and moving the government to Jerusalem. So this is a senseless act. It undermines any potential for peace in that region. And as soon as another president's around, the embassy will be moved back. So it is really a senseless act that's harmed a lot of people and done no political good for the United States or the world.
The United States, though, has defended Israel's actions at the United Nations. While many countries have been roundly criticizing what happened in Gaza, U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, who we were speaking about a few weeks ago, claimed that Israel acted with restraint and that many countries in the room would have acted with, well, considerably less restraint. What do you make of the diplomatic overtures here?
I can't say this on air, but it begins with a B and an S. Nikki Haley is doing this for reasons I can't understand, but she has to be a good soldier. The United States decided to do this under Donald Trump's leadership, and she just has to be a good soldier. What's coming out of her mouth now reminds me a bit of Colin Powell, the stuff he said that later got him in deep trouble and led to his loss of any credibility within the United States. And the fact that he might be president was gone forever. Nikki Haley might have just done the same thing.
As you say, pretty worrying developments in the region. Looking, slightly abroad from that, after a few weeks of things warming up, it would seem, North Korea has turned again, cancelling talks with South Korea and threatening the same with the U.S. following joint South Korea-U.S. naval exercises. What's the latest?
Well, this is just fresh news. One never knows. This may be just an idle threat, or it may have some substance. But I think Kim Il-sung is being very smart here. He sees he's got the United States in a box and South Korea in a box, and he can use his lack of participation to get more concessions. So I think the game here for him is to get more, not to cancel anything, but to get more, and he will.
And China, there's been a trade delegation in Washington this week, and it seems like Trump's tariff threats have brought them to the table. But the U.S. ambassador to China has said the two nations are still very far apart on trade, tech, and market access, and others are predicting only short-term concessions from the Chinese in exchange for getting rid of the tariffs. I'll say it again, Ed, China plays the long game. Any thoughts?
You're absolutely right. This is just a, as we say in American baseball, a bunt. You don't hit the ball too far, and it's so close in that other people can't get to it. The Chinese are doing this to save face. They're showing up in Washington with no intention of doing very much of anything. They might refresh a contract they already have, but they are showing their face to Europe and the rest of the world. That's the game they're playing. The United States, as they say in the marketing business, has been written off, and it's now on sale for peanuts. So the U.S. relations with China are pretty much not going to change very much at all. and the Chinese are becoming more bullish elsewhere in the world and letting the U.S. be on the back burner for now. And this delegation is just a point of show. It's not important at all.
And the shadow of this trade war, we still seem to see a lot of lower class Americans, maybe middle class Americans as well, being caught in the shadow of this trade war.
Yes, we do, particularly those in the Middle West. The Midwest is the food belt of the United States, and the Chinese and others are cutting off U.S. suppliers for food, particularly for pork and chicken and other things that are going huge amounts to China, as well as for grains. The Chinese have found other sources for those things, particularly the grains and pork. Australia is a beneficiary of this, by the way. And so this is having a tremendously bad effect on the Midwest for two reasons. One, this winter was the worst in history, so a lot of crops didn't do very well, so farmers are in deep trouble. And the second reason is the farmers are in deep debt, and they're not able to borrow like they did before, and they don't have the manpower, that is, the aliens, the Mexicans, or other Latin Americans to pick the crops when they roll in this spring. So Trump's attempts to be smart have really backfired with the U.S. Midwest. The same thing's true with steel workers and others who now face layoffs rather than increases in the number of jobs. And the reason for that, as the U.S. Stops importing steel, that steel, after imported, needed to be made or fashioned into new kinds of steel for U.S. production. When you don't take the Chinese steel and the other steel, there is no remake to do. So this has idled more steel workers and brought more harm to the Midwest than good, and people are talking about it and beginning to jump ship.
A perfect storm, it would seem, in the Midwest and for much of Trump country. Just wanted to touch on America's national debt. This week, it's topped $21 trillion. That's over $21 trillion. When Trump first took office, it was $19.9 trillion, according to U.S. Treasury data, and he swore he'd eliminate it entirely within 8 years. Since then, Republicans have passed a $1.5 trillion tax cut and a two-year spending deal expected to drive debt even further upward. Trump has also said he'd be up for eliminating the debt ceiling entirely. What's happened to fiscal conservatism, Ed?
It's gone down the toilet. In fact, fiscal conservatism, if you look back on it, was rhetoric that was used by both Bushes as they did the same thing and giving big handouts to the wealthy. So what we're doing in the United States is rewarding the wealthy with handouts from the government, and that's what's driving up this debt. People are beginning to see it, though. Less than a third of Americans think this tax cut was a very good idea. Everyone sees that these taxes, or deficits rather, are going to come back to bite, and they're going to bite very hard. And they're already starting to hurt. Trump is cutting out huge numbers of social programs in order to support this deficit reduction he wants to do. But he can't do it because when people go back home, they can't tell anyone that we cut your social programs in order to give the wealthy corporations a better deal. It's not working. And at some point, the United States is going to have to correct course. I hope a Democrat's not in when that happens.
Gina Haspel, Trump's nomination for the post of CIA head. She's secured key Democrat votes despite claims of, well, quite a bit of blood on her hands in terms of torture, and looks certain to become the first woman to lead the spy agency. That's one hell of a glass ceiling, Ed.
Well, this is not the kind of person you really want to head the agency in terms of the image. I don't doubt that she's a good administrator, but her image is pretty poor. So while she's crossed the line, and she crossed this line for two reasons. One, she's a woman. And the second reason was that the right wing was putting out propaganda that if you didn't vote for her, we were going to come after you in the general election. So that scared the heck out of a few Democrats, and they decided to do that. Remember, this is a Senate vote, and the Democrats need all the Senate voters they can get, senators they can get. So members of the Senate not voting for her would might have jeopardized their chances from getting back in the Senate and other Democrats' chances getting in the Senate. It is a very high price to pay in terms of American dignity, but this is politics today.
And on the topic of women and glass ceilings, Ed, women are getting a great deal more involved in politics in the United States. There's been a 182% surge in contributions to political parties, mostly to the Democrat political party. Probably women with names like Natasha and Varushka are giving to the Republicans. And there's also been a huge surge in women entering politics. 476 female House candidates this year. This sounds like great news.
It is good news. It's good news for two reasons. One of them is the Republican women tend to be much softer on social issues. The other reason is it brings much more balance to the United States Congress. The Republicans have almost no women in the Congress. So even a few Republican victories this year may not be a bad thing. Hopefully, there'll be more Democratic victories and Democratic women in. But all in all, it's a very good sign for the American democracy.
On the personal front for Trump this week, his lawyer, Michael Cohen, more coming out by the day about his so-called consulting fees and willingness to put himself out there as the president's lawyer in order to sell access, it would seem, to Donald Trump. A few weeks ago, Trump said Cohen would never flip on him, some pretty loaded language in and of itself, but you'd have to say Cohen is looking a lot like the type to take care of himself first and foremost.
Well, I think the person who's going to take care of him first or foremost is a U.S. Southern District Judge. He has committed so many crimes, selling access to the President of the United States is a crime. Not having a lobbyist license and then lobbying is a crime. And what happened to that money? Was it on his tax return? Don't think so. So this man has now pushed himself into a very deep, dark hole. If he has tales to tell, he's going to tell them, or he will spend the rest of his best years in jail, or as my grandmother would say, under the jail.
And just finally, last week we spoke about the Mueller prosecution of Paul Manafort and how it was likely to go ahead. The judge we were speaking about hasn't made a ruling, but one of his DC counterparts has, ruling the prosecution can go ahead. We've also seen the one mark for the Mueller investigation coming up with reports Trump plans to blast the investigation for not already having wrapped up by the anniversary. What's the latest, Ed?
Well, I think Mueller's got all the ammunition here. What Mueller's done is quite interesting. And just follow this for a moment. First of all, he's discredited everyone around Donald Trump, members of his family. It's almost certain that his son will go to jail, and that's why he divorced. Kushner is certainly jail bait. He's done. Cohen is done. So the president's men and women are now in a position where they might face jail terms. The other thing that Mueller is doing is he's cutting off access to finance for the Trump empire. And that's becoming more clear by the day, not just with the Kushner deal, but the Trump Towers themselves are in very deep financial trouble. So the money that was coming from Russia is now been crippled effectively. So Mueller is not interested in impeaching Trump. He's interested in crippling him. And if Mueller goes, that'll just make sure the crippling happens even faster, because that's almost guarantees a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House. So he would be totally crippled. I think that's where Mueller's going, and Mueller will indict several more people on the way and indict them in state courts, so the president's pardon would mean absolutely nothing.
US of Ed is created in the studios of 2SER. To help support the work we do, go to 2SER.com/donate. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.